Medieval History, 7th grade. Thursday, May 7th. A continuation of the account of the First Crusade. Given all the toil the Crusaders had endured, the leaders decided to wait until November to move on in order to give the army time to rest. Unfortunately, an epidemic of typhoid fever broke out at the end of July, taking the life of Bishop Adhemar, who had done more than anyone else to maintain the essential unity of the crusade despite temptations to factionalism and self-seeking. He would be sorely missed on many occasions in the next 2 years. On November 5th, a council of leaders met in Antioch's cathedral. The death of Adhemar brought to a kindling point the rivalry between Bohemond and Raymond. For Bohemond, now that he was ruler of Antioch, Jerusalem was becoming less significant. Raymond argued that they had promised to go to Jerusalem, and they should do so without further delay. At this point, word got out to the army of a dispute between the leaders. Not knowing the details of the debate, the army was determined to fulfill their vows. If the leaders did not agree to march to Jerusalem very soon, they would start breaking down the walls of Antioch. An agreement was soon made that Raymond would accept Bohemond as leader of Antioch, despite not having agreed to it before, and Bohemond would swear to march to Jerusalem without delay. Along the way, the Crusaders conquered the fortress of Maharat Anuman, 50 miles south of Antioch. At this point, Godfrey returned to Antioch to meet with his brother, who had left the crusade earlier to rule a local city. Bohemond proposed the march to Jerusalem to be delayed until Easter. Word got out about the proposed delay, and the soldiers called an assembly. Inviting Raymond, they gave him an ultimatum. They had promised to go to Jerusalem, and they wanted him to lead them there, now. Raymond promised the soldiers that he would lead them to Jerusalem at the end of December. He called a council of all the leaders on January 4, stating his intentions. During the council, news of some leaders' unwillingness to finish the crusade got out, and the soldiers began pulling down the city walls. Seeing this display of zeal, Count Raymond led the soldiers out on 13th of January, 1099. Only Robert of Normandy and the Norman Tancred agreed to join him. Shamefully, they may have been influenced by a bribe. Godfrey of Bouillon and others held back. Bohemond returned to Antioch. With Raymond now as the unquestionable leader, but the army reduced in size, they marched to Jerusalem. While the army was delayed by an ultimately fruitless siege of the Muslim fortress of Arqa along the way, this gave time for Godfrey to change his mind and join Raymond, though refusing to accept his leadership. Giving up the siege, the Crusaders began to encounter the lands well known to them from the Bible, including Mount Carmel, Emmaus, and Bethlehem. The people of Bethlehem, who were the descendants of the shepherds who had witnessed the birth of Jesus, greeted them with weeping and singing, hoping that these knights might be the ones to free them from the oppression of the Muslims. Soon after their departure, the Crusaders got their first glimpse of Jerusalem. After walking so many miles and so much hardship and loss, and with about a third of their original army left, with no siege engines, intense heat, and no nearby source of water, the wells had been poisoned, taking the city would be difficult. An initial attack by the Crusaders on June 13th was repulsed with heavy losses to the Crusaders. At this crucial moment, naval support once again arrived, bringing food and materials for making siege engines and scaling ladders to the nearby port of Joppa. Yet by the beginning of July, reports arrived that Egypt was sending a massive relief army. As at Antioch, the Crusaders would have to take the city soon or, they would be caught between two hostile forces. On July 6th, a priest named Peter Desiderius declared that he had seen a vision of Bishop Adhemar, in which Adhemar said, "Speak to the princes and all the people, and say to them, 'You who have come from distant lands to worship God and the Lord of hosts, purge yourselves of your uncleanliness, and let each one turn from his evil ways. Then with bare feet march around Jerusalem invoking God, and you must also fast. If you do this, and then make a great attack on the city on the ninth day, it will be captured. If you do not, all the evils that you have suffered will be multiplied by the Lord.'" Raymond d'Aguillet. The army responded as one man, led by bishops and priests carrying relics, followed by lords and knights, then by foot soldiers and unarmed pilgrims. They followed Christ's trail of tears to the top of the Mount of Olives. After some of the priests preached to all, the leaders swore to cooperate from now on. The soldiers brought new enthusiasm to the siege effort, finishing the siege towers. The towers were brought close to the walls as crusaders began filling in the moats next to the walls. By July 14th, Raymond and his soldiers had made it to the wall, though his attack was repulsed. The next morning, Godfrey had made it to the wall. As Raymond had drawn the attention of the defenders, Godfrey's location was less strongly defended. His troops managed to make it over the walls and open the gate for the rest of the army. Jerusalem was taken. Sadly, at this moment, the crusaders lost control. Some of the Arabs, as well as Ethiopians, fled into the Tower of David, and others shut themselves up in the temples of the Lord and of Solomon. In the courts of these buildings, a fierce attack was pressed on the Saracens. There was no place where they could escape our swordsmen. Many of the Saracens who had climbed to the top of the Temple of Solomon in their flight were shot to death with arrows and fell headlong from the roof. Nearly 10,000 were beheaded in this temple. If you had been there, your feet would have been stained to the ankles in the blood of the slain. What shall I say? None were left alive. Neither women nor children were spared. And also Tancred rushed into the temple of the Lord, perhaps the church of the Holy Sepulchre, and seized much gold and silver and many precious stones. But he restored these things, putting them or their equivalent back into the holy place. With drawn swords, our men ran through the city, not sparing anyone, even those begging for mercy. The crowd fell just as rotten apples fall, from shaken branches and acorns from swaying oaks. Fulker of Chartres' account. The special quality of the scandal is that men enlisted in a cause so vividly seen by them as holy could be behaved in a manner so unholy. The crusaders themselves would have been the first to acknowledge that they were poor sinners. Their cause was greater and holier than they, but here they dishonored it, and the dishonor has lived, especially in Muslim memories, right alongside the triumph. We are told, however, that Godfrey did not participate in the slaughter, and we know that Raymond promised the safety of the Muslim leader Iftikhar and those captured in one of the towers with him. Raymond's promise was the only of such promises to be kept. The city was offered to Raymond, who declined to rule it, and then to Godfrey, who accepted it. It still needed to be defended from the approaching Egyptian army. The leaders together decided to launch a surprise attack, and the Egyptians were routed. With Jerusalem secured, most of the crusaders returned home. This concludes the material for Thursday, May 7th.